preacher up here.
All right. Yes. Oh, if I could thank you enough for all that we have been able to experience today, for such great fellowship and for wonderful food and conversation with so many. I'm thankful that we've had this opportunity today, and I'm thankful I've gotten to meet some of God's precious children, His family. We sang just a moment ago about a wonderful psalm, Psalm 23, the great shepherd that leads us. But perhaps Psalm 19 is the crown jewel of them all, with what we find in Scripture that God has given His revelation through His creation and through His written revelation. And then man's opportunity to give Him glory. The word magnify. What does it truly mean? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name forever. To uplift and to make it large, so we can see it clearly. We can magnify God's name, can't we? Did you know that creation can also magnify God's name? We have our devices. I have an iPad up here with a few things written on it. But you can take a text and you can put your fingers on and then pinch out. And what happens? It gets larger. It zooms in. Now, when you do the same thing, you can pinch back in and zoom back in so you can't see it as clearly. But what can we do with the instruments that God has blessed us with to give men the mind to create telescopes and microscopes? We can see things that are so far away, God's glory. And we can also see things that can't even be seen by the naked eye. They're microscopic. And we can see them with instruments that man has created. There are many times when I'm reading God's word and I'm getting a little bit older, and I realized I needed glasses when I was preaching one day. I said, I can't read that. And lo and behold, you know, I went like this to try to make it bigger. It doesn't work. For some reason, that just doesn't work. But lo and behold, we know what it looks like to zoom in on something. Well, what about God? Can't we zoom in on Him? Can't we show people clearly who He is? And this psalm gives us that opportunity. Let's focus and magnify this afternoon at 1:30, when we've had lots of carbs and lots of brownies and ice cream. Maybe we should play a round of Simon Says. What do you think?
Father Abraham.
Oh, that was a good one right there. Turn around, sit down. But know this, we're here today to glorify God, to magnify His name. And the Lord gives us this information here in Psalm 19. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 19, the crown jewel, God's creation and the Word. They show His glory. Let's understand that our eyes can be lifted up to see God's literal creation. We can use our mind to see God by looking in His Word. But when we look in to find liberty, to find the mercy that we need in order for us to be justified in Christ. First of all, let's understand that the Lord's glory is revealed. It is revealed. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Have you noticed this? That He declares His own glory. He reveals His own glory by the way that He's created the universe. Have you looked into the night sky on a clear night when you can see stars from beyond? We've recently tried to download an app, and I've showed Rowan where you can see the constellations that people have created. And you can see Orion's belt, as we've seen. what a beauty it is that now we can have instruments that can see those things. But know this, we can see God's glory because he declares it. It's revealed unto us. The glorious God gave glory to the moon, to the stars. He showcases his awesome power by all that is therefore revealed in verse 1. Verses 1 through 6 gives us that creation, that God revealed his will and his creation, his own glory by that. Then 7 through 10, we see the perfection of his glory. You'll see what we mean when we get there. And then man's opportunity unto that same glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's revealed, but did you notice that it's also received? God receives glory from the sun, the moon, the stars. His glory is, yes, revealed, but it's received. He receives that glory based on him being God. Let's open to Psalm 148. Psalm 148, verses 1 through 9. We'll read some of this now and then some later. Praise ye the Lord, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, watch this, all his angels. Praise him, all ye, his hosts. Praise him, who? Sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise ye him, heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. The Lord receives glory from the sun, moon, and stars. The sun, moon, stars, they praise God. How often do they do it? 24/7. There's no stop. They continue to praise him. We read this in this psalm, Psalm 148. But what about us? If the sun, the moon, the stars know how to praise their creator, what about you and I? We must therefore consider. The Lord's glory, therefore, must be considered by us. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Our first stanza. And a powerful song showing us what God has done to reveal his glory. And yes, he receives glory from those inanimate objects. They don't breathe. They don't have life within them. They don't have a soul. But yet they praise and glorify God for whom what they are. Can you count the stars? Can you see the galaxies? We can't even number them. It's so amazing to see God's creation on display. The moon is in the perfect location between the sun and the moon and the earth. 93 million miles away we are from the sun. If we were any closer, what would happen? We wouldn't be able to live with the heat. If we were a little bit further away, we wouldn't be able to live because of the distance. But we are perfectly positioned on an axis, revolving and rotating. Why? Because God spoke. He spoke it all into existence. God revealed his glory. It's received. Note there in Psalm 19 what happens night and day. Verse number 2, day unto day uttereth what? Speech. And night unto night, knowledge. You have this thought of the words uttereth and showeth knowledge. It's continual. Every day and every night, it does not stop. His firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day and night unto night. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Verse 4. Their line is gone out throughout the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber. Rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God is awesome. God is awesome. And he shows that in his handiwork. It's received. We've considered it. Have you considered the earth? The mountains? When you can stand upon the mountains and notice the grandeur. Rock City's not far from here. Love going to Rock City. Fat Man Squeeze is a little tough sometimes. But we love Rock City, especially when you can look out and see all of the states. This one here is in Alabama, Mount Cheehaw. Maybe you've been there. But this was a scene that my family, we were able to observe this and witness the firmament show with his handiwork. We praise God on this moment. But consider the earth. He declares glory. He receives glory from this. Scientists have considered and identified about 300 to 400,000 types of plants. That's a lot of plants, a lot of different species of plants. But yet, what do? They glorify God because they're doing exactly what they were intended to do. Produce oxygen and give us food. What about the animals? 2.13 million animal species. Who did that? God did. God made even the hippo. We sing about that, don't we? That's an amazing thing to think about. All of his creation. Let's go back to Psalm 148. Let me show you this. Psalm 148, continuing in that thought, we've seen that the sun, the moon, the stars can praise God, praise ye the Lord. But let's continue the passage. Verse number 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains, hills, cedars, fruit trees, beasts, here we are, all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. None of those have souls. But yet, what do? Exactly what God told them to do. Put it in their DNA to grow and to thrive, and they give us what we need, and they glorify God. But what about you and I? We have souls. We've been made in the image of God. Let us make man in our image, Genesis 1:27. But yet, do you know people in your life that are not praising the Lord? I do. Brethren, we must praise him continually, day unto day, uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. That's what we are intending to do. His greatest creation. We are his crown jewel. You and I were his special creation, made after his own image. Should we have reason to praise him? Wow. That is our responsibility. As a matter of fact, it's our opportunity that we can stand and we can praise our Maker and thank him for his ever-flowing blessings. But it gets better. It gets better than that. Because there is the perfection of God's glory. Oh yes, God revealed his glory by speaking, and it was there. He revealed himself through his glory by creation. You look around, you can't see anything that God did not make, or someone that he didn't make that God made them. But watch carefully what we find next. Verses 7 through 10, let me read this. Let me read it, and then we'll make application. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honeycomb, right? You can see the desire that we have in this passage to be able to taste God's perfection. You hold in your hand the inspired Word of God, the very words that bring forth His glory. I was telling your good elders yesterday that my children are my heart. It's very difficult, as those of you who have children and grandchildren know, and or even a niece, a nephew, the love that we have in our families, it cannot be described with mere words, can it? We love them with every fiber of our being, and it can't even be described. But yet, think about the love that God has for His children. Think about the love that God had for His Son. And yet, we may not be able to find the words, but guess what? God did. God not only found the words, God gave us the Word. John 1:14, the Word made flesh. He tabernacled. He dwelt among us. He walked in our pathways. He guides us in the way that He walked. He gave us His Word. You think about everything that God spoke and creation existed. God gave us His Word. And guess what? We can be justified. We can be His special creation in Christ. Only God can do that. It's His perfection of His glory. Notice with me, all of these again, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And if you want to write this in your Bibles, in verse number 7 through 10, the law of the Lord is perfect. Who is perfect? Jesus. Converting the soul, does He not do that? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's Jesus. The statutes of the Lord are righteous, rejoicing. That's Jesus. The commandment of the Lord is pure. That's Christ. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. His judgments bring forth. This is Jesus Christ. This is the Word made flesh. He revealed to His creation, and then He revealed His Son. The mystery. Jew and Gentile coming together to be the church of Christ. What a beautiful painting. Spoke with a brother this morning about the painting, the full picture of God that he pieced together throughout history. And what's in the center of that? Beautiful portrait of God. It's Jesus Christ, His only Son. He's a beautiful picture. And here He is in Psalm 19. We can't help but notice He's there. Are we going to glorify Him? The Word of Life, 1 John 1, 1 and 2. And John chapter 1, 1 through 5. He's in the beginning. Remember, He was heard by the deaf. He was seen by the blind. He was looked upon by the apostles. And He was manifest and bore witness of His Father. We have perfection in our hands, brethren. Not only can we look up and see His beauty revealed, but we can look in His Word. And we better magnify and zoom in so that we don't miss Jesus Christ. Are we living His life? Are we following His way? Are we walking the way that He walked? Are we walking in wisdom? Are we walking in strength and in purity? Wisdom. Who is a wise man, James would ask. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? He says, let him show forth of a great conversation his work in, with meekness and wisdom. But if he hath bitter envying and strife in his heart, glory not, he says, and lie not against the truth. But watch this. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Who, may I ask, is James writing about? Jesus Christ. That's where wisdom comes from. That's what we're reading here in Psalm 19. It's His written, revealed Word that's been perfected. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John 1, 1. Next, let's focus our attention on, oh, that's a beautiful scene right there. Oh, I love it. That's in Navarre. Took that picture on the beach. The sun was coming up. As the sun rises, so should He rise in our life. We have our own opportunity unto God's glory. The sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the plants, they do exactly what God told them to do. And they do it with all their might. And we have a great opportunity. And David writes this in the last part of Psalm 19. Moreover, by them is thy servant. Let me click so you can see the verses. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. What does the word do? It warns us. And in keeping of them, all of those things that we read in 7 through 10, there is great reward. Brother, sister in Christ, if you continue to keep your eyes set on Jesus, we sang this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't be blind. Take the blinders off and look clearly and see your Savior. This word that's revealed, it warns us and gives us exactly what we know we must do. But we have to look in the mirror. We look in the Word, and we look in, by looking in the Word, we look in the mirror that shows us into liberty. That's what James tells us in James 1. Look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. These are amazing words as a psalmist, David, coming through here and showing us what it looks like to be a man of God, and how when you read this word, it should warn us, it should convict us, it should bring us into a spot to where we find ourselves looking in the mirror and saying, what can I do to be more in love with Him? How can I therefore be His creation and praise Him in all that I have? Every blessing to be a good steward of that. That's what we find in Psalm 19. But let's not miss this. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Are you willing to sing these words? Then sings my soul, my Savior, my God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul, my Savior, my God, to thee. How great thou art! the glory of God revealed, received, the perfection of God's glory in His Word, His Son. And yes, the opportunity that we have to sing that song and to bring glory to His name by the very life that we live. Perhaps you're here today and you've recognized through these words and these scriptures that your life is not where it needs to be. You have not been a good steward of what God has given you. And when you recognize the glory of God and all that He's done, we don't stand a chance. But He gives us redemption. He gives us forgiveness if we only ask for it. If we come to Him in obedience. Perhaps you're not a Christian today and you want to become one. We mentioned the plan of salvation this morning, the idea of someone being justified by God, giving them life. The word justified means just as if I had never sinned before. Don't you want all your charges to be dropped before that we're guilty of sin? And we will not reach heaven. We'll be judged on that final day if we're not justified. To be justified, we can obey the law of Christ. And that is simple, to hear what He says, to do what he says. When we hear, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we must therefore repent of our sins, confess the sweet name of Christ, just as the eunuch did. When he heard the sermon that Philip preached unto him, Jesus, he saw water. He couldn't believe his eyes. There's water right there. What hindereth? Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're saying, I know there's water behind that guy, and I want to be cleansed. If I obey His will, I can be immersed in water today, and I can be forgiven for the remission of my sins, and I will be justified in the sight of God. And on that final day of judgment, God will look upon me, and He won't see my sin. He'll say, oh yeah, it's written right here in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation 21. Perhaps you're here today and you need encouragement. You need to let someone know what you're going through. Please don't leave today without doing so. Maybe you need to come home. Maybe you need to sit in your seat and resolve right now to say, I'm not going to live this double life any longer. Maybe it's something that's private. As David mentioned here about this presumptuous sin or even the sin that keep the secret false. Maybe no one knows, but God does. And when you ask forgiveness for that, He'll wipe it clean. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, we must do that. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from what? All sin. That is glory perfected. Brother, friend, don't hesitate. Will you come while together we stand and sing?